to devour for her sake. And he has to flee. Loose her now. In Jesus' mighty name. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you blessed this morning? Well, get your checkbooks out. If you're really blessed, prove it. Amen. You love God this morning? Hallelujah. Love is action. Anybody need an offering envelope? Glory to God. To God. Praise his mighty name. Well, let's pray and you can give this morning. Father, we love you and praise you. We thank you for seed that we sow into your kingdom. We thank you, Father, and place that seed in the hand of a mighty, awesome God, that you'll multiply it, you'll use it to expand your kingdom, and you'll cause a harvest back to the sower. For that, we give you praise, glory, and honor this morning in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen, 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 amen. Amen. Amen.
Love is what God is. And that's right. He is that's in right. You. You're disobedient if you don't flow in the ways that he tells you to go. Mm-hmm. Now he'll work with us on that because he's good and he's loving and he knows. But I've been reading a little book and it's got a lot to do with what this grace movement the people keep going. God gives grace. But in the situation where you know and you've been revealed to you and you continually wash back and forth on it and you don't make it a grant, you're going to not have the revelation. As in, whatever, what's causing this to go on in my life, God? I want to know more about you, God. All the things requires divine revelation. And God says, I can't give it to you unless I know you're going to be obedient. Because to whom he gives things, you're required. So his great mercy and love works.
Amen. Amen. That's all right. You can finish that Wednesday night. I'll be at youth camp. Which reminds me, is there anybody in here, maybe more than one, that could say, I got time to go to the church for 1 hour every evening this week and pray for youth camp? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. You'll be here Wednesday anyway. So, that would be great. There's one, so two, three, four. I volunteered you, Mike. Hallelujah. Okay, that'd be Terry. Terry's up there. He'll be here. All right. I'll give you my key today when I leave, and you go. You got a key? You got a key, Bernie? I'll keep my key. Hallelujah. Praise his mighty name.
What time?
Huh? 7 o'clock. Yep, that's the time we'll be starting service. Okay. Just for an hour. I'll put some things on the board for you to pray for. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. I hope this message is not as long as last week's. I'm not making any guarantees. But our forefathers, the forefathers of the United States of America, you know, a father's job is to protect and provide. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And the forefathers of the United States of America constructed the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, and the Bill of Rights as a way to protect the republic in which we live in order that we might prosper. Somebody say amen. That's a father's two main jobs. Now today in America and around the world, there are people who would love to see this republic torn down. Somebody say amen. I'm going to talk to you about that very subject today. I'm not going to mince words. I'm not going to hold back any punches. You know, I'm going to give you truth. I was up really late the last two nights, and I got back up at 4 o'clock because I found something. And I was like, I got to find out if that's true. And so I researched it. And I found another witness. And I found Rabbi Jonathan Cahn. If you haven't read his book, The Harbinger, you really ought to read it. You ought to read his book, The Paradigm. I didn't get as much out of the Shemitah as I did those two. But I'm going to tell you just briefly The Harbinger, what it's about. Harbinger means warning. And it's about the Twin Towers, the World Trade Center. The World Trade Center, they started building it sometime in 1970 at the same time that New York legalized abortion. The Twin Towers became a symbol of defiance to God. Thus, it came down. You read in the Bible where they tore down the high places. Read about Jehu. We'll talk about Jehu and President Trump next week. You read about Jehu, who tore down the high places of Ahab and Jezebel. So the high towers, Rabbi Daniel Lappin and many other people have done lots of teaching on high places and high towers, you know, and how skyscrapers, you know, I taught on it years ago, how skyscrapers became a symbol of defiance against God. And so when the Twin Towers came down, people said, was that an act of God? Yeah, it was. Did he use Islam? Sure he did. Why did he use Islam? God has always raised up a kingdom as an instrument of his judgment. Somebody say amen or oh me. So when Andrew Cuomo, the governor of New York, thought it right to sign this bill of abortion where you could legally abort a baby that was full term. Standing by his side was Hillary Clinton when he announced he would sign that. The new Trade Towers that is up there, that big high, that's a gorgeous building, okay? When he signed that, he had, you know, when me and Debbie go to Cleveland, one of the big buildings in Cleveland, it's red, white, and blue on top. It's kind of cool how they can light buildings up like that. It's kind of cool. Well, Cuomo had him light the World Trade Center. There's a big, like, antenna-looking thing on top of it. He had him light that up in pink. That's the color of a fetus when he signed that bill in New York City. So the World Trade Center becomes a symbol of defiance against God. Somebody say amen or oh me. But that's basically what the Harbinger is about. It's about a warning, God giving America a warning and an opportunity to repent and an opportunity for him to usher in revival. Say amen or oh me. But I recommend you read the Harbinger. The Harbinger is written like a novel. When I first started reading it, I thought, well, this is fiction. And then I kept reading it. And I kept reading it. But he writes it like a novel to where you're always going back. I mean, it's one of those books you can't put down. And it's really good. The paradigm is the same way. And it's just uncanny. So I went to Rabbi Kahn. I had to watch I don't know how many videos because I for some reason I can't buy his CDs. I've just failed. Probably just something the enemy has tried to do. So I had to watch and watch and watch to try to find a second opinion on what I'm going to talk to you about. And finally, it came through him and it came through somebody else. So I verified these things, and Terry's going to show you a couple pictures here in a minute. So I want you to go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. It says, "Now the Spirit especially says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons." Keep that in mind, deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. That's going to be very important, okay? "Speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron." I've got to tell you, the hypocrisy that is on the news right now is crazy. Amen. It's absolutely crazy. They want to impeach Donald Trump, but a crime hasn't been committed. But yet they know that Hillary Clinton committed a crime. But we'll give her a free pass. Okay? So I'm just trying to point this out. Paul wrote to Timothy 2,000 years ago, and it's coming to fruition today. Amen. Now, I'm not against Democrats. I'm not against any people, okay? I'm going to give you the truth this morning. Now, let's go over to 2 Timothy chapter 4 also. I'm going to lay a quick foundation, then we'll try to rock and roll through some history. Chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, verse 1. "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom." Amen. You know, if I was an ungodly heathen, pagan, idolatrous worshiper, I would fear Jesus too. Yeah. I would do everything I could to keep him from coming back. Because he's going to judge the living and the dead. "Preach the word," he tells to Timothy. "Be ready in season, out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort, and with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desire, because they have itching ears, they will heap upon themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful." This is a warning to the church, not just to Timothy. "But you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry." I have never seen such an attack on God's people as I'm witnessing today. Because if the devil can afflict you enough to steal that hope from you, then your light is out. Amen. That's why I love that song. "Give me faith like Daniel in the lion's den." Because I'll admit to you, sometimes my faith pampers is down around my ankles. You know, the devil's done pulled my drawers down because, you know, things are going on in your lives and my life and in this country where, man, you're just like, well, is it ever going to stop? No. No, it's not going to stop. But you know what? The book says in the end, we win. Amen. Amen. And if we overcome, we will be rewarded. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. How many know Jesus overcame the enemy, right? All right, now let's go to Ephesians 6. You should know exactly where I'm going. Ephesians chapter 6, go to your left. You're going to arrive about page 1654. I'm trying to do this quickly because I got a lot to cover. "Finally, my brethren," verse 10. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the enemy." Wiles is an old English term that means schemes or plans. And he says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. I'm going to stop right there because I watched Katrina's message a couple weeks ago. She did a great job on the armor of God. Somebody say amen or oh me. So I'm going to stop right there. The point is, we're wrestling not with flesh and blood. How many of you have spoke to your children or other loved ones till you are absolutely blue in the face and they still won't come to Christ?
Amen.
Amen. It's because the battle's not with their flesh. The battle is against the spiritual principalities that are governing their mind and governing this earth. Amen. So rather than trying to browbeat them, maybe we should spend more time praying in tongues, praying in the Holy Ghost, and praying and coming against those principalities and powers. Amen, amen. Okay, now, let's go to Daniel. Give me faith like Daniel in the lion's den. It didn't quite sound the same, did it? It did, thanks. Daniel chapter 7. Or 12, I mean, 12. No, not 12, 2. 2. Daniel chapter 2. I'll set it up for you. Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. His magicians, his soothsayers, they don't know what the dream is. So somebody tells about this Daniel, this Hebrew. And they bring Daniel in, and God gives Daniel the interpretation of the dream. And let's pick it up in verse 31, I'd like to read the whole passage, but for the sake of time, verse 31, page 1123, Daniel chapter 2, verse 31. You, O king, were watching, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose splendor was excellent, stood before you, and its form was awesome. This image's head was of fine gold, its chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. You watched while stone was cut out with hands, which struck the image on its feet of iron and clay and broke them in pieces. Now I'm going to submit right here. We're talking about something that happened in the spiritual realm. The Jewish people were being oppressed by the Romans. All right? This kingdom of iron. The head of gold was Nebuchadnezzar's Babylonian kingdom. The arms of silver was the Medo-Persian Empire under King Darius and King Cyrus. And then you have the bronze breastplate, which was Alexander the Great's kingdom. And then you had the legs of iron that represented the Roman kingdom, and there's feet of clay, and we'll get to those in a minute. So the stone that was cut out was the Lord Jesus Christ, who came and died at Calvary for the sins of the world. Do you know that the Jewish people were looking for him to kick the Roman tail physically? Let's get it on. Let's get it over with. There is some scholarship today that says that, and you know, I don't know if I believe it, but I'll just tell you, that Judas was a zealot, and that Judas didn't intend for Jesus to die. He was hoping Caiaphas would slap him around, make him mad, and it'd be on. Yeah. You know how we are, right? You know, when people make us mad, it's on. Well, after you get reached a certain age, you let a lot more things slide, because you're not as on as you used to be. Amen? We could draw and shoot them, but we don't want to do that either, okay? All right. So that's a spiritual kingdom. That's Jesus coming. Now I want you to turn over here. Sound like Mel Tillis, to turn over here. Turn over here to verse 40. It says, and the fourth kingdom shall be as strong as iron, and as much as iron breaks in pieces and shatters everything, and like iron that crushes, that kingdom will break in pieces and crush all others. Okay? Whereas you saw the feet and toes partly of potter's clay and partly of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, yet the strength of the iron shall be in it, just as you saw the iron mixed with ceramic clay. And as the toes of the feet were partly of iron and partly of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly fragile. As you saw iron mixed with ceramic clay, they will mingle with the seed of men, but they will not adhere to one another, just as iron does not mix with clay. And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Inasmuch as you saw that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it broke in pieces the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold. God has made known to the king what will come to pass after this. The dream is certain and its interpretation is sure. We know the stone that is cut out is Jesus. Amen. How many know there's been a revival in the Roman Empire? The ancient Roman Empire. I'm going to show you that here in just a minute. Okay? You can't hardly argue with it. It's historical as well as spiritual. All right? But guess what? Jesus will come again. That stone will come again someday, and he will destroy once and for all. But I want you to see something that I never saw before. I always thought, well, the Romans were destroyed. Not so. Not so, my friend. What's that Lee Corso? What's he? Not so fast. Not so fast. He's a football announcer. Not so fast. So he says, it says in verse 40, that kingdom will break in pieces and crush all others. So it says the Roman Empire will be broken in pieces, not destroyed, but broken in pieces, all right? So let's go for, you ready for a history lesson? Rome was divided into East and West. You had the Western Empire, that was the iron, strong. The Eastern Empire later would be called the Holy Roman Empire, clay, not as strong as the Western Empire, all right? So, Rome was divided east and west. In 476, the Western Empire was destroyed by Germanic barbarians. All right? We know that. That's history. History tells us it was destroyed. But wait a minute, not so fast. If it was destroyed in 476, then how come in the year 800 AD, Pope Leo III crowned Charlemagne emperor of the Western Roman Empire? I thought it was destroyed. Not so fast, right? In 962, Otto I was crowned emperor of the Western Empire. So it never really truly died out, or never really truly was destroyed. Rome actually had spread all over the world. Now, get this. How you know what? I'm flabbergasted. The devil has nothing new. Absolutely nothing new. All he does is he perverts what God has done or what God is doing. So remember, you students of mine, in 70 AD, the Jewish revolt, right? And Jews were dispersed. But then we had a second Jewish revolt in 135 AD where the Roman Emperor Hadrian, he builds a statue of Jupiter on the Temple Mount. He crushes the Jewish revolt, and the Jews are then dispersed into all the lands, right? That's what God did. God did that to them as judgment. Well, the devil comes along and says, if he can do that to the Jews, then this Holy Roman Empire, this Roman Empire, would just, when he crushes it, breaks it into little pieces, would just spread it all over the world. You ready? All right, hold on. It's getting better. In Germany, they called their leader the Kaiser. That's just a German name for Caesar after the Roman Empire, right? Benito Mussolini, remember him? He was a fascist. He wanted to rule the world. And I wrote fascism on here so you would understand what it is. Fascism comes from the Latin word fascio. It means to bundle the people into one body that must be controlled by government. What's Paul say about us? We are one body under the headship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Fascism is just the total opposite of the body of Messiah. What God is doing with Jew and Gentile, making us one new man under one godly king, what fascism is the devil's counterfeit. And you know, I get so mad when I hear people refer to our president as a fascist Nazi. You know what? You know what Peter said? Peter said you ought to be praying for that president.
Yes.
Not calling him names.
Amen.
All right, let me keep going. All right. The Roman emperors were fascists. Hitler was a fascist. Okay. The Roman Empire. Now watch. So you have the Roman Empire, and now the Roman Empire gets spiritualized into the Holy Roman Empire after Constantine. Remember, he embraces Christianity. He just sees Jesus as another one of his many gods, another lucky rabbit's foot. Can't have too many lucky rabbit's foot, you know. The popes are called Pontifex Maximus. It means the supreme priest. It was the title given to the first Caesar, Caesar Augustus. So now that this Holy Roman Empire gets spiritualized into the Roman Catholic Church, they even named their lead duck Pontifex Maximus after the Roman Caesars. Because all the Caesars began, Caesar Augustus was a god. Hey, I'll take that title. Because therefore I can do whatever I want. I can control all the people. Okay? So this is what the Jews are dealing with. The Roman Empire's legs of iron represents power. The legs of clay are the spiritual kingdom, the Holy Roman Empire. And you know what? It's been spreading for a long time, since 473. You had the French Empire. You had the British Empire. Did you know the great British Empire? Some people say they controlled over a fourth of the world at one time, prior to World War II. Some people say it could have been as much as one-third of the world. But it come tumbling down. Let me keep going. Now, you got my pictures, Terry? Go to the Capitol building, can you? We'll come back to that one. All right. Now, we're talking about the spread of the Roman Empire, right? If you look on the right, that is the ancient Pantheon of Rome. It's that's the place that housed their gods. Where does my little cat go? Here he is. Okay. Now look. You see it here? Now look at our Capitol building. See it here? Uh-huh. Ain't that amazing how that Roman Empire has spread to the West? Wow. You know, this set on what they called Capitolina Hill. This sets on Capitol Hill. Just throwing that in there, okay? All right. The Eastern, the Rome had a Senate. Rome had a president. We have a Senate. In Rome, they spoke Latin. You know, there's all kind. Our government has all kinds of Latin quotes, you know, in our government, right? So, moving right along. The Eastern Roman Empire. In 1453, Constantinople was taken over by the Ottoman Turkish Empire, who was led by Mehmed II. And they took over Constantinople, kicked the Christians out. Some of them they murdered. Some of them they let live, but they were subservient to Islam. And they changed the name of Constantinople to Istanbul. So today it is the capital of Turkey. All right? Now, what happened? After Constantinople fell, there was a move to make Russia or Moscow the Third Roman Empire. And there was a man named the Orthodox Church. The Orthodox Church began to proclaim that Moscow would now be the Third Rome. You had Rome was the first one. Constantinople was the second Rome. And now they would make Moscow the Third Rome. Okay? And there was a, I'm trying to figure out what year it was, about 1503, there was a man named Ivan III. He became first what he did is he married the niece of Constantine XI. So by marrying the niece of Constantine, see, Now his children will all be Romans. So he takes the title, Ivan III takes the title of Tsar of Russia, which is just the Russian word for Caesar. Okay? So you see the expansion of that Roman Empire. How about this one? During the Cold War, the world was split between West and East. Were we not? Battles going on there. All right? Now, in Amos 9, we are told that there would be a day that God would rebuild the tabernacle of David, right? And I've heard a lot of explanations for Tabernacle of David. I finally found somebody that agreed with me. Rabbi Kahn. That's a pretty good stamp of approval. Rabbi Kahn said, God is rebuilding the Tabernacle of David. And he said, it's not a tent for the altar or for with the Ark of the Covenant. He said, it's a kingdom. It's a united kingdom. I'm like, hallelujah, 1 o'clock morning, hallelujah, glory to God, finally. So I tell that to some pastors and they look at me like I got three heads and two of them spinning. You know, it's not that hard. Acts chapter 15, James tells us that the phenomenon of Jew and Gentile coming together is the rebuilding of the tabernacle of David. It's rebuilding a kingdom under a godly king. Somebody say amen. Now, God's doing that. What's old Slewfoot up to? He's got to have a counterfeit. Have you heard of a thing called the European Union? Amen. Old Slewfoot's trying to unite his Roman Empire. That's why this Brexit, England, this is important. What's going on in England, what's going on in America is spiritual. I'm telling you, it is spiritual. God has never allowed, every time somebody has tried to manipulate the people of the world into a one world system, God has always broke it up, and I believe he laid it on the hearts of the people of England to vote for Brexit or exiting the European Union. And now, you know, you've got a lot of the old political people are trying to fight it. Okay? President Trump was over there. He told them, hey, go for it. Because they're trying to come up with a plan. Well, how can we do this and how can we do that? Trump told them, go for it. We'll get an agreement for trade. Amen. Somebody say amen or oh me. But that Brexit could very well be, and I believe it is, God's plan to break it up. Amen. Amen. All right, let me keep going. They keep going. Some of you are looking at me pretty hard. Turn with me to Acts chapter 3 real quick. Acts chapter 3. You know, I'm not sure. 19, I think. Yeah, verse 19. Now watch this. 19, page 1496. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. What does it take to invite the refreshing? Repentance. Repentance. Somebody said revival. Revival is historically has always been marked by repentance. When the Spirit of God moves on hearts and they begin to weep and to repent. You know, I've read stories. Revivals are historical. History tells us about them. The one in Scotland, I can't remember the year, but when the Holy Spirit broke out in that small church, sinners that were walking by on their way to the pub ran in, fell on their face, said, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. Nobody preached to them. The Holy Spirit brought the conviction, not condemnation, conviction. Hey, you're in trouble here, and I'm here to save you. Amen? All right, let's keep reading. Verse 20, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. So God has Jesus. Help us, Lord. I think Jesus is trying to go. The Father's got him by the seat of the pants. No. I got him by the tallit, okay? No. Not yet. But I go. Let me go. There's some rabbis I want to reintroduce myself to. Yeah, yeah. Amen. And my brethren, I need to reintroduce myself to them in Israel. Amen.
Amen.
In the very beginning of Christianity, what city was the capital of religion? Jerusalem. Jerusalem. But in 70 AD, Jerusalem is destroyed. The temple is destroyed. And the capital of religion became Rome. The Vatican. Pontifex Maximus. The leader. Later on, after Rome gets sacked, the religious center of the world becomes Constantinople. But the Muslims wiped that out. Didn't wipe it out, but they took it over and made it Istanbul. Now remember, I said Jesus is retained in heaven. The Bible said it, till the restoration of all things. Israel has become a nation. We know that. But when our president moved the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, we thought that was just something President Trump did. No way. No way that was just Trump. No way. That was God restoring the capital city of all religion to Jerusalem. Where's Jesus coming back to? Jerusalem. Well, you know, Ironton would be a better place. Doesn't matter if Iron's a better place or not. Jerusalem is where he's coming. It's where he left from, and he's got some unfinished business there, and he's coming back there. Amen. So he's restoring that. And along the way, he's restoring the church back to its Jewish roots. Amen. And what America needs more than anything in the world is to be returned or restored to our Judeo-Christian values, the Word of God, the commands of God.
Amen.
President Trump recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. That was God. Now, Joel talks about, and you've heard me say it many times, Joel talks about a time that after God restores all that the canker worm and the locust, the crawling locust, the flying locust have eaten and destroyed, talking about the armies that God sent to pass judgment on Israel. Joel talks about a time when after that restoration, and we have seen the restoration of Israel in the last 120, 130 years, since the late 1800s. That restoration is on its way to completion. God says that after this restoration, I will pour my spirit out on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men will dream dreams, and your old men will see visions. And anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
Amen. So that tells me God has restored Jerusalem as his capital again, and God is about to pour out his spirit again.
Amen.
Amen. Somebody say amen or oh me. But I got to tell you something. I also believe that when he pours out his spirit, if we're looking at the model of the book of Acts, and that's what I'm looking for. I have said for years before I understood anything about Jewish roots or God restoring Jerusalem as his capital or God making one new man. I've said for years out of my ignorance that someday somebody's going to duplicate the book of Acts. And when they do, you will be looking for me. I'm going to be there. Amen. But I believe that God is going to duplicate the book of Acts. One guy said one time, what God's going to do in the last days will make the book of Acts look like a Sunday school picnic. But you know what? As I look at the book of Acts, and I look at Peter, Peter who hid, Peter who denied Jesus three times, all of a sudden, he's filled with the power of God, and he's up there preaching, hey, guess what? This is proof positive that this Jesus whom you crucified is now alive and well, and he's seated at the right hand of God, and he's poured out his Spirit, what you're seeing right now. Amen? So something happened to Peter. Paul, persecutor of the church, he's persecuting Christians. He was holding the coats when they stoned Stephen to death. And he's got a letter. He can persecute Christians. He's heading out to persecute some more. He just happens to be on the road to Damascus. And guess who shows up? The Lord Jesus himself. You know, I never fully understand it, but growing up in the Nazarene church, they always had a thing they called the Damascus Road Experience. I never went to one of them, but they said it was always pretty powerful. I'm telling you, the Bible says, if you'll seek me, you will find me. But you got to seek him. Amen. Paul's out on the road to Damascus. Jesus shows up, blinds him. He's got to go back into the city blind. And then some guy, Jesus picks a man. Was his name? What was his name? Ananias. Picks Ananias, says, go pray for Paul. Whoa, wait a minute. Paul, he says, Paul, the persecutor of the church? Yeah, go pray for him. You know, if it had been us, we'd say, you know, Lord, I'm going over here and to the Baptist church, see if I can get a second opinion. No, he prays for Paul. Paul ends up spending 3 years on the backside of the Arabian desert with Jesus himself being taught. That's why he's my favorite apostle. Now, I want to bring you into where you live today. Okay? Show the other picture again, Terry, please. I want to bring you into something. I had to verify this. I heard a guy talking about this, and I was like, you know, that sounds all good and everything, but out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let everything be established. So I found some stuff. You see this right here? You see this arch? This is called the Arch of Palmyra. Now, this was in Palmyra, Syria. You see these columns? Okay, that was a Roman-built temple to the god Baal. Okay? We sometimes pronounce it Baal, but in Hebrew it's pronounced Baal. Okay? ISIS destroyed the temple. All right? And then they later come back and they destroyed this archway. But how many know that scientists and technology can do about anything? You know? Well, through science and technology, they rebuilt this thing. This was a gateway, believed to be a gateway, a portal. You had to walk through the portal to enter the spiritual world of Baal. All right? Now, you got to remember, Baal worship, Baal plagued Israel from the very beginning. Amen. They were always sliding over to worship Baal. But here's what's important. Baal worship included all types of sexual perversion. Homosexuality, bestiality, incest, all types of sexual perversion. It also included infanticide, murdering your children, offering your babies up to God. In the Bible, he's called Molech 90 times, where they offered their children up to the god Molech. All right? Now, I want you to think for a minute. Think for a minute, spiritually speaking, okay? Spiritually, these people are in a dark place to offer their children up, right? But it's the same spirit that offered babies, that influenced people to offer up their babies to Molech and to Baal, as the same spirit that's offering up our babies to the god of humanism, Baal, through abortion. It's the same evil spirit. The Bible says your children are a gift of God. Amen. The Bible tells us they're so important you are to teach your children. Oh, glory to God. God says in the beginning, one of the first commands he gave Adam and Eve was be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Oh, let me keep going. So Isis destroys it. Now this name Baal, it means freedom. What do the pro-choice people say? This body belongs to the woman. She has the freedom to choose. What the free love movement in the 60s? Hey, if it feels good, do it. The freedom is the freedom from Yahweh's commandments. Tolerance. They preach tolerance, but there is no tolerance. I was appalled at some of the things they said about Sarah Sanders, the president's press secretary. Some of the things they said about that woman were just atrocious, filthy, vile. Said she was a disgrace to her gender. That's evil. So they preach tolerance, but they're not very tolerant. What tolerance is they want us to give them approval to break God's command. They want somebody to step up and say, it's okay if you're in a homosexual relationship. They want somebody to say, it's okay, you can't take care of that child. We understand if you want to abort that child. That's what they want. They don't want us to tell them the truth because truth convicts their heart. I told you about somebody that told me one time, they said, you know, they actually told me, you're the best preacher I ever heard. I said, well, I think Jesus and Paul were probably better. Peter, well, you know, I might have Peter, but no, just kidding, okay. He said, but when you preach, you make me realize there's things in my life that I need to change. So I'm just going to keep going to First Baptist. I was with the same guy yesterday, and he's telling me some problems that his family's going through. And I wanted so much to say, you know what? If you don't have a teachable spirit and you don't want to learn about God, then just continue to go through the problems without God. Hang on, hold out, and hopefully someday, you know, you keep standing on Jordan's stormy banks, and hopefully someday you'll make it. Let me get off of that. That was so this arch symbolizes freedom, right? It also symbolizes triumph of evil over good. My Bible tells me we win. Amen. It'll be a triumph of good over evil. Can I tell you something? When Mike Gannon stood right there and gave his heart to the Lord, and I laid my hands on him to receive the Holy Ghost, he jumped back 3 feet. He had never been to a charismatic church. Nobody taught him how to jerk and quirk, you know. It just happened. And at that moment, good triumphed over the evil in his life. Amen. That's why we need revival. Now, let me keep going. Now, some scientists and techies got together and they rebuilt this sucker. And they were going to bring it to Times Square in New York City. And they advertised it in the New York Times and the Washington Post as the temple of the pagan god Baal is coming to Times Square. Well, the next part gives me a little hope. People got in an uproar. Don't bring that bad boy to Times Square. So what they did is they moved it, they took it to London. And they set it up in London. And it was during, they coordinated taking it to London during the Beltane Festival. It's an ancient Celtic festival, and it's where they burn fires. It's basically, Beltane means fire of Baal. So you know what they did with the fire of Baal? They gave their babies. And Beltane is marked with big bonfires and everything, and all kinds of sexual perversion. So this portal to the spirit of, to the temple of Baal was in London during this time. So they had it in London. So they then took it to Dubai, and they coordinated it having it at Dubai with the opening of the World Government Council. See, they're still trying. The global elites are still trying. That's why it's important that we spend more time on our knees. Amen. Who are some of the speakers? Elon Musk, the guy with the electric cars, was a speaker. It was some guy you may know, Barack Obama, was a speaker there. Okay. So from Dubai... Oh, and they said at Dubai they wanted to bring all the nations of the world under one umbrella. Ooh, that scares me, because that is fascism. Okay? All right, now, from Dubai, they took it to Florence, Italy, to the G7 conference. Again, that's a group of economists and globalists and world elites. Want a one world government. So they took it there. All right. From there, it went to the Washington Mall in Washington, D.C. on September 26th. Does anybody remember? This is December 26th, 2018. Does anybody remember what happened the next day in Washington, D.C.? And it was, can I see the Capitol building again, Terry? It was erected, okay. It was on the Washington Mall, and it was a long ways off from the Capitol building. But when you looked through it, you were looking at this from a distance. If you were standing in front of the arch of Palmyra, looking through it, you saw this. So they set it up. So you can see this. Guess what was going on in there the next day? That was when Christine Blasey Ford said that Brett Kavanaugh sexually assaulted her, and that trial was going on. Now, Baal is also, he's earmarked, worship of Baal is not only murdering babies, all kinds of sexual perversion, but lies. So if you had any doubt what was going on there, I don't think you need to doubt any longer. Amen. These people are so subtle. Let me read you what a congressman said. Where's it at? I thought I wrote this quote down. Yeah. When they set it up in the Washington Mall, Democratic congressman from New York, Elliot Engel, said this. When you look at this beautiful arch, we are seeing through the eyes of ancient civilizations. And to have it right here set against the classical columns of the Capitol is extraordinary. The Palmyra Arch, the home of the arch in Palmyra, Syria, went on for 2,000 years. It was a major center of idolatry, specifically the worship of Baal, also known as Moloch. Now, with that said, I want you to turn to 1 Kings 18, and we're going to finish. 1 Kings 18. You know, I watched the news, and I listened to the liberal left, and I don't know about you, but I'm exhausted. I mean, I'm absolutely exhausted. One of the teenagers was in a vehicle with me the other day said, man, when I hear them people, I can't stand to listen to them. They're lying. You can tell they're lying. And I'm like, I didn't coach him up on that. He's a teenager. He come up with that on his own. I was in agreement. But I'm like, how can you be so bold? How can you do these things? Impeach, impeach, impeach. Well, what crime has he committed? We're just going to impeach him. Well, where's the crime? Well, we're just going to impeach him. They just keep, It's like, remember Hitler had he called it the big lie. If you tell, Hitler believed, he wrote in his book, Mein Kampf, My Struggles, if you say it long enough and loud enough, the people are dumb enough to believe it. Keep saying it. We need to be praying that people's hearts and minds would be free from that junk. Amen. So here we are. We're in 1 Kings. The book, The Paradigm, compares King Ahab and Queen Jezebel to Hillary and Bill. And there's a whole bunch of similarities, and they're kind of scary, to tell you the truth. All right. But then the paradigm ends up with Jehu, who brings that kingdom down. Jehu was not a godly man. He was not a perfect man, okay? I hear people all the time say, well, I just don't like Trump as a man. Well, okay, fine. But could you at least agree that possibly he's a Jehu of the 21st century, a man used by God? David wasn't perfect. God used him. Bernie wasn't perfect. God used him just this morning. I for sure wasn't perfect. Okay, I could write a history of my life and you would know, but many of you know that history anyway, so I don't need to write the book. Okay, I wouldn't write it anyway. You know, some of you know more than the rest of you. You know, Tom probably knows me as well as anybody. He's still here, so you know, I haven't run him off yet. But my point is, God uses imperfect people. Well, I don't know about that. Oh, well, let me clear it up for you. All have sinned and all come short of the glory of God. Amen. So if God's going to use anybody, he's using an imperfect vessel. Right? All right. So Jezebel and Ahab, they've had their reign come to an end, and Elijah shows up. And you know, back in Elijah's day, when the prophet come to town, people are like, hey, you think he's for us? You think he's against us? Good news, bad news. You know, grace or are we going to get judgment here? So they ask, are you for us or are you against us? Well, one thing's for sure, Elijah is not for Ahab and Jezebel, because Jezebel's father was a high priest of Baal. And Jezebel brought Baal worship into Israel. Amen? Baal Peoria. Is that how you say it, Bernie? Peoria. Okay. It's in the Bible that way. They would take this little statue of Baal and they would squat over him and defecate on him. God comes along and says, or not, Jesus comes along and he calls Baal Beelzebub, Lord of the flies. Just saying, okay? What are you about? Man's heart without God is evil, and there's no limits to that evil. Amen. Remember when they had Occupy Wall Street? Amen. Right? That was a deal by George Soros. If there's an Antichrist alive right now, Soros is a prime candidate. Amen. He funded that. Did you see on the street? They were urinating on the streets. There was a cop car that somebody had defecated on the side of the cop car. What is that? That's the worship of Baal. Freedom. Evil, we're going to triumph over good. See, I'm not a big spiritual warfare guy, because I believe if you live right, serve God, you know, it'll all take care of itself. But I think I was wrong. I think it's time that we took our prayer life more serious. Amen. Because there's a battle to be fought and a battle to be won. Amen. Our children are dying and going to hell. We need to intercede more. Amen. Amen. All right, now let's get back here. So here we are, verse 18. Or verse 17. Then it happened when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said to him, is that you, O troubler of Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house have, in that you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and have followed the Baals. Freedom from the commands of God. All right? So, what happens? Elijah says, look in verse 19, now therefore, send and gather all Israel to me on Mount Carmel. The 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table. Man. So Ahab sent for all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together on Mount Carmel. And you know the story. Elijah tells them, says, now, get a bowl, get you a bowl, build you, got your wood there, put that bowl on there, and you pray to your Baals and Asherahs and let them come down and consume. And they're praying and chanting and dancing, and nothing's happening. And Elijah says, and they're even cutting herself. Elijah says, well, maybe he's on vacation. Maybe he's asleep. Maybe he's taking a siesta, you know? I mean, Elijah's goading them. I mean, you know what? It takes some real confidence in God to be one man standing there against a whole nation. Amen. And 450 prophets of Baal. He said, all right, boys, you take a break and rest. And he brings water, and they soak the wood, his wood. They soak his bowl, his sacrifice. And the water, the Bible says the water was filled up the ditches all around there. And Elijah prays that God would consume the sacrifice, and fire from heaven comes and it consumes the bowl, the wood, and it laps up all the water in the dishes. And Elijah pulls out a sword and kills the 450 prophets. How many of you know we need that spirit of Elijah today? Amen. Not to call down fire and flash fry everybody, all right? Like we would do if we could. All right? Now, let me put this word up. I'm almost done. Just so you can see it. You go home and look this up. Avodah Zaar. Make sure I spell that right. Oh, Zara. Okay. Now, I'll get that later. Or somebody that can bend over better than me can get it. Okay. This is the word, Hebrew term for idolatry, the worship of pagan gods. And one rabbi said this about idolatry. He said, idolatry was created to give man a sense of justification for his animalistic behavior, so man could have a feeling of righteousness while doing evil. That's what tolerance is. That's what they want. They want to worship the Baals. They want to have that freedom. Freedom away from the God of Israel. Why do you think the enemy hates Israel and Christianity so much? We are the only thing between him, the enemy, and a worldwide system, a one world system. So you can't have a one world government if you got a bunch of dissenters. I dissent. We're not going to go along with that. It's pretty tough. See, and I look at England, all right? I look at England and the Brexit as another dissenter. We got somebody else in the foxhole with us. Amen? Glory to God. Hallelujah. All right, now, turn with me to Exodus 20, and we're going to close. Have I said close yet? Just once. Exodus 20. Well. You know, it amazes me that while Moses was up on that mountain, it didn't take him no time to build an altar and slap a calf right up on it. Huh? See, you wonder, how did our nation, a nation founded on Judaic Christian values, how did our nation get to where it's at today, where these globalists have infiltrated our government? Not only our government, but they have infiltrated the FBI, the CIA, our Homeland Security. The CIA and FBI are two of the most prestigious institutions in America. They are supposed to investigate and uphold the law and not be partial to anyone. Right. But we've seen We've watched them. They've been corrupted. Let's hope there's another Jehu named William Barr in there. And Mr. Durham. All right? Need to pray for them men. So how did we get here? We're entertained. We've got movies. The Romans had the Colosseum built by the wealth from the Jewish temple, built by Jewish and Christian slaves. Which I think is kind of ironic, because after they built it, the Jewish and Christian slaves, they started feeding the Jews and the Christians to the lions, tigers, and bears, and to the gladiators. So the Roman government would understood the people's lust for blood, and they would fill the Colosseum with people, give them what they want, while the whole time the Senate and the emperors were up to no good behind their backs, selling out the people of Rome. As long as they held into their own. What does our government do? How do you go into Congress and you're worth $400,000 and 30 years later you're worth $40 or $50 million? How does that happen? It's because Americans, we've been entertained. Every Sunday afternoon and Saturday afternoon, we are in those Colosseums watching those gladiators throw, kick, and run that pigskin. Don't get me wrong, I like football as well as anybody, but we've been entertained. We watch movies. Look at the internet. I mean, the internet, our children have iPhones, and our children have access to the filth that is on the internet. Now, the internet's good for some things, but it's not good for other things. Amen. And our children have 24/7 access. Amen. To that stuff. That's how we got here. We fell asleep at the wheel. Yeah, we did. Amen. Amen. Listen, as much as I love the charismatic renewal of the 70s, where teachers were popping up, where people were being filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in other tongues, magnifying God. There was a holy laughter that went through the church that was so refreshing. But that move became all about money. You were judged by how much money you made. Well, first it was how many people are in your church, how much money do you make? How big is your car? How big is your house? If you had a big house and a big car and a church of 1,000 men, you were anointed. Well, there's not very many anointed preachers in, because almost 98-99% of all churches are 50 or less. Amen. How about that one? So, in Exodus 20, that's how we got here. We fell asleep. And so, you know, I came out of a church, and I thank God, God restored me there. But, you know, I know people that were in that Word of Faith movement, they took out loans to put in the offering plate, thinking that God was going to bless that. I was in Columbus at a big church one time, and I didn't have much money, but I wrote a $300 check, you know, because I needed $30,000 to buy a farm to put a school for troubled kids on, you know, and I got an autographed Bible. But I never did get that $30,000. How about that? But the Word of Faith movement became about getting things, not knowing God, but getting stuff. And there's nothing wrong with money. It's a whole lot better when you got money to pay your bills and when you don't. But it's when money has you. You know, the Bible doesn't say money's evil. It says the love of money is evil. Amen. So here we are. We're closing. And God spoke all these words. This is Exodus 20, verse 1. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. How many of you know God's brought you out of bondage? Amen. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. Amen. Remember I said that when Cuomo signed that bill where you could murder a baby right up until its full term, that the tower on top of the World Trade Center was lit up as pink. Remember when all the women were marching on Washington and had those vagina hats, pink hats? See, that abortion and those pink hats, that was really, they don't really hate us. They hate the God we serve. Amen. They hate what we stand for. Amen. But you know what? We need to stand even taller. Amen. Amen. I bought a shirt down in Myrtle Beach. It says, I stand for the flag and I kneel to the cross. Amen. You know? Amen. And you know what? We really, really need to be teaching our grandchildren, our children, Amen. Praying for them, interceding for them. And so when I get back from youth camp, we're going to set up some special times of prayer, because we need to be here and we need to be in interceding as a Bible. If one can cast out 1,000, 2, 10,000, what can 3 do? I'm not very good in math. Okay. Amen. Pretty good bit. That's a good answer. Amen. Hallelujah. Bow your heads with me. Father, we love you this morning. We praise you. We thank you, Lord God, that your word says, if we will humble ourselves and pray, that you will hear our cry and answer those prayers, Lord God. Father, you promised Solomon that your presence would dwell in that house he built. Father, our prayer this morning is if we humble ourselves and we begin to pray, and pray in earnest, that your presence would be in this house, Lord God. And Father, we just thank you and praise you. I lift up youth camp. I set my faith in agreement with these, your people. I ask you, Lord, that your spirit would lead and guide these children this week. First of all, Lord, send your angels to protect them as they travel to camp. Secondly, Lord, let your spirit begin to woo and bring their heart to the place that they'll make Jesus Christ Lord and Savior. And Father, our theme is witness. The word witness means martyr. Persecution is coming. Father, help them to know you in a greater measure, where even in the face of persecution, they will be able to stand strong against the wiles of the enemy. Father, we love you this morning. We praise you and we magnify you. We thank you for your word and what it means to us. And Father, as we take communion this morning, we just thank you for these elements. They represent the blood and the body of our Lord Jesus. They represent our redemption. They represent our vow of fidelity to him until he comes. And we just praise you and magnify you this morning. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, Bernie, you can help me. Please. Somebody alert Deb. You tell her. Sure.
Yeah. did a statistic, and they show that in Wisconsin alone, there's 300,000. In Kentucky was over 900,000 register hunters. Yeah. Pennsylvania, Michigan, Ohio. And they said the standing army of all the hunters is the world's largest standing army.
Now I want to say something there. Don't mean to correct you, Janie. It's not the people. It's the spirit of Baal that's ruling the people. Amen. She didn't mean to. We're going to whoop up on everybody. But we need to pray. We need revival. At the beginning of this nation, there were liberals. In the very beginning, in the first great awakening and the second great awakening, is what squelched the liberal. Everybody been served? Sorry about that. That's a plus. But we are going to get into some prayer and fasting this summer. So if we need to. I was reminded of my cousin, Teresa, who spearheaded a prayer walk through this whole city. All the churches got together. And then, because of some goofiness, you know, kind of died out. And I was just reminded of that this week, that we need to get back to that. Okay? Amen. Hallelujah. Y'all blessed? Y'all blessed? No. It is a four-letter word, but not a bad word. Yeah. Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for in that garden you prayed, not my will, but your will be done, Father. You submitted yourself to the will of God, no matter how hard. In the face of death, you are our example. And you were wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon you, and by your stripes we are healed and made whole. And this morning, Lord Jesus, in remembrance of you, in remembrance that you are the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, that you are the immerser, baptizer in the Holy Spirit, that you are our high priest interceding for us, and that you are a soon coming King. With thanksgiving in our hearts and remembrance of you, we eat of your body this morning. Hallelujah. Bible tells us that life is in the blood, and at Calvary, the Lord Jesus poured out that life, his life, so that we could be partakers of that life. This cup also represents the fourth cup in a Jewish betrothal ceremony, where the bridegroom drinks that cup, or the bride drinks that cup, the bridegroom does not. And Jesus said, as the bridegroom, he told his disciples, I won't drink of this cup again until I come in my kingdom, until our wedding day. But the bride-to-be would drink of it as a sign of her fidelity and faithfulness. As a vow, she would remain faithful until he comes. And this morning, thanksgiving in our heart, Lord Jesus, in remembrance of you, and as a vow of our fidelity until you come, we drink of this cup this morning. Hallelujah. Y'all, l'chaim, to life. Amen. Y'all blessed this morning. Hallelujah. Terry, can you be here at 7 in the evening? All right. I don't think it's not important. You know, we'll be praying while we're there. But it would just be a big, huge encouragement. On Monday nights, traditionally, a lot of kids get saved or rededicate their lives to God.